Turn, if you will, this morning to James chapter 5, James chapter 5, verse 7 through 12. The Word of God says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the preservation of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into temptation." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today again for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this time to study your word. God, touch our hearts today. We open them up to you. Let your Holy Spirit move in this service. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. As the times grow nearer to the Lord's coming, he tells us and encourages us to do some things in our life. You know, to know that passage of scripture in John, the 14th chapter, when he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again." Now, I don't know about you, but those words, "I will come again," are encouraging to me. It ought to encourage your heart to know that this is not all there is. You know, you look at the television, you look at the news, it's all bad just about it. It is so welcome sometimes to see a good report, but most of the time all we see is how many people were slain, how many of this were killed, Christians here die, and it's kind of discouraging. But here James writes some encouraging words to the Christians, and he says, listen, in a time when everything is dismal, look up. Jesus is coming again. Look at verse 7. "Therefore," he says, "be patient, brethren, until the" what? "The coming of the Lord." They used a little word called Maranatha, which the Lord is coming. And that is encouraging to Christians. It's encouraging to my heart to know that Jesus Christ is coming again. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, as you sorrow not, even as those which have no hope." Man, I'm glad I have hope. I've got Christ. And he says, he's coming to receive those dead in Christ first shall rise, and then those which are alive and remain. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. It's encouraging to know that Jesus Christ is coming. He mentions it twice here in verse 7 and 8. "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." And since the coming of the Lord is at hand, listen, we need to be living our life not looking down, but looking up. Look upward towards Christ. In the New Testament, when you talk about the matters of the Lord return, three words are really used. One is revelation. Now, the revelation is the unveiling of our Lord and Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I can turn over in the back of my Bible and read about the coming of the Lord. Oh, the last two verses, he says, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God says at the very last of Revelation, I'm coming again. And then there's that word appearance, when he shall appear. Man, I tell you what, I'm looking for the clouds to open up, the scroll to be rolled back like a scroll, and Christ coming in the clouds. I remember in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, I believe. He's talking to his disciples, and he goes up in a cloud, and they're standing there looking into the cloud at his rising and disappearing, and the men stand there and said, hey, guys, men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus who you've seen rise up into the clouds will surely come again. And then there's that word, not only revelation and appearance, but come. He's going to come. Coming of the Lord. That means he's coming alongside with us. Back in those days when a king was coming back from a war, or they were coming into a town, the people would line the streets and watch as the king and the army rode into their town, and they were shouting and singing and all kinds, because that was a special time for those people's lives. And you know, we do that today. We roll out the red carpet for the president coming to town, or a candidate that's running for office maybe coming to our town, and you know, they make him welcome and people line up. Well, the Lord's coming is very dear to my heart, because Jesus says, I am coming. He himself, not somebody else, but Christ. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Shout with praises of his wonderful grace. I want to see him. I'm living looking up, looking for that special time when Jesus comes. He says, be patient. Man, they were suffering. They were suffering. They were hurting. We just had into our family little Allie Pearl. I told y'all Wednesday night, I said, it's my little mini Pearl. That makes a half dozen grandchildren, all of them girls except one. He doesn't stand a chance. But you know, I watch my son and daughter-in-law, and Amber was sick many times during that 9 months, and there's a lot of sickness and discomforts and difficulties and childbearing. But you know, we went to the hospital, and when little Minnie Pearl was there, she's going to kill me when she finds out I told the church that. I may not be grandpa anymore. They may be saying, don't he look natural? But you know, when we went into the room, all that discomfort that she had, all the pain and difficulties that they went through had melted away because of that precious little God-given child. All the troubles, all the pains, all the things that we go through here will fade away when we see Jesus. Oh, I long to look for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wonderful thought it will be. What a wonderful thought it will be to look upon the Lord's face. There's an old song that we sing many times. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. I know it's hard. It's hard down there. But the Lord's coming. And His coming is very near. And then in verse 8 it says, you also be patient, establish your hearts, because the Lord is at hand, or the Lord draweth nigh in the Old King James. It simply means the Lord's day is getting closer and closer and closer. And then it says, He's standing at the door. Behold, He's standing at the door. Now let me tell you something. When someone knocks on your door and they're standing at the door, they're getting ready to do what? They're getting ready to, when you open the door, to come in. Man, they're getting ready to come in and visit with you a while. The Lord is standing at the door. He's getting ready. The signs are there. Times are there. I'm not going to say He's coming tomorrow, but He might. Oh, I hope He comes soon. I hope He comes soon. You know, some people tell me, well, preacher, you've been saying that for well over 2,000 years. Y'all been preaching. Preachers talk about Jesus is coming. They talked about Jesus is coming. You know, God doesn't operate on our time clock, brother. When I look at in America, all we do is look at watches, don't we? We don't have watches anymore. Well, they got that new watch that comes out. It's going to be able to tell you everything, like your telephone. Everybody carries a telephone now with a watch and everything else on it. And I see people all the time turning the phones and punching it and look what time it is. What time is it? What time is it? We run on a tight schedule. But God doesn't do that. His time is for all the clock of eternity, the past, the present, and the future. He sees it all. Everything with God is now. Now. And the point is, when He says Christ is coming, it could happen at any moment. So look up. Look up. That ought to encourage you, James says. I believe He's standing at the door. It could be tonight. It could be this evening. It could be this morning, right as we are finishing this service, or while we're in this service. Are you ready? Are you looking up? You know, some are. Some, when the Lord comes, they're going to be ready. Their hearts are going to be full of joy and praise, but we're going home to see the Father. Somebody said the other day, sent me a text, said, God is dead. And I said, no, He's not. He's not dead. I'm His child. Nobody told me He died. I don't know, they didn't mean that text to come to me, I don't think, because they said, who are you? And I said, I just told you I'm a child of the King. And He's not dead. He lives, folks. He lives. It could be this morning. Man. We need to make all the efforts we can to tell everybody about Jesus while we can, because we need to be ready when God comes, and we need everybody else to be ready. Look up. Redemption draweth nigh. Get excited about His coming. Man, you ought to be the most excited people. If you've got Christ in your heart and He's coming, you ought to be excited about it. Man, all we have down here is trouble, disease, sorrow, war, fighting, people starving to death, hunger, and you know, it's so good when you read over in the Bible, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more parting. He shall be with His people and we shall be with Him, never to depart again. And folks, in Christ, you have that. You have that assurance. And James says, look up, man, be ready. The Lord is coming. But let me tell you something else. Not only should we look up, we ought to look inward. Because He says, be patient. Establish your hearts. Let me ask you, how's your heart doing? Are you strong in your heart this morning? Now, I'm not talking about physically. Some of you may say, well, I don't have a good heart. My old heart's kind of bad. Well, if it's bad, you better make sure you know Jesus Christ, because it could quit at any moment. And if it's good, let me tell you something. You could quit. It could quit at any moment. But it says establish your hearts. In other words, about a month ago, Ron and I had sidewalks put in around our house, and I noticed those men didn't just pour the concrete out there. They put a lot of steel in that sidewalk. You can't see the steel, but I know it's there. You know why it's there? It's to hold it together. It's there to make it firm. It's there to make it strong. Folks, we need steel in our heart. It said establish your heart. Make it strong. And one of the ways that we need to put steel to our heart, the Bible says, to hide you God's words in our heart. What does that mean, preacher? That means we need to study God's word. Listen to what the Bible says. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God. We need to hide God's word. Now, let me tell you something. Memorization of Scripture is almost a thing of the past today. I thank God for our WANA program. I thank God for these children that read the Bible on Sundays. They meet up here and they memorize Scripture. And, yeah, we give them little things for that. But, man, it's so good to know, because when they get older, that word that they've hidden in their heart there is going to come alive, because God's going to make it come alive. And one of the most neglected things in the Christian life today is somehow we forgot to hide God's word in our heart, and our hearts are weak. We don't have a very strong heart. Therefore, if some discomfort comes to our life, if some happens in our life that is wrong, if the doctor says you have cancer, or if you get a telephone call and said your wife just had a car wreck, or your children's had a car wreck, you know, you just fall to pieces. You don't know where to turn to. But if you've hidden that word in your heart and you have established yourself in God's word, when temptations come your way, when assaults of the devil come your way, you'll have a peace on the inside that the gates of hell cannot shake, because your heart's being reinforced with the steel of God's word. And it's strong. And then it says, verse 9, oh, I like that, do not grumble. I don't even like that word, does it? Grumble against one another, that lest you be condemned. Let me ask you something. How sweet is your disposition? First, you need to be strong in the heart, but how sweet is your disposition? Let me tell you something. I have met some just plain old nasty people. Bitter, complain, grumble, and that's in the church. What about on the outside? It even gets worse. I'm asking you today, how's your disposition? Are you always bitter? Something's missing if it is. Do you always grumble about every little thing? If you don't get your way, you're going to take your marbles and run? We used to do that as kids, didn't we? We played marbles and stuff like that, and if things didn't go right, they'd grab their marbles and go to the house. And we just acting like a bunch of childs. That's the way they do it in church. Well, preacher, if I didn't get my way, I'm going somewhere else. And they go somewhere else, and they find out somewhere else the same way, and they go somewhere else and find out somewhere else. The problem is them. It's not the churches, and it's certainly not God. It's what you've got on the inside of your life. I like the story of this lady was sitting there fishing, and this old codger was sitting down from her, and he was a mumbling, and this guy come in and sat on the other side of her, and they sat there about an hour, and the old codger got up. That man said, you know what? He's a bitter old fella, isn't he? She said, yeah, all he did was grumble and mumble, and he complained about the bait. He complained about the weather. I am so glad he left. Yeah, I said, me too. Do you know who he was? He said, my husband. You know, that's the way we are sometimes, aren't we? We grumble and complain and all the difficulties. You know, I like the story about the old woman that went to court, and she asked the judge, a man went to court and he asked the judge, said, you have any grounds for a divorce? And he said, well, I'm a farmer. I've got about 180 acres. Judge said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, you have some reason. He said, well, I told you I had 180 acres. He says, no, that's not. He says, does your wife beat you up? And she says, oh, yeah. She gets up about 5:30 every morning. I get up late. You know. We don't have room to grumble, do we? But we're just naturally sometimes grumble and complain. How's your disposition? Look on the inside right now and say, you know what? How is my disposition? Look up. Look inward. And then the Lord is coming. Look onward. It says, be patient, endure, persist, keep on keeping on. And it gives an illustration of planting, a farmer planting. And he talks about that farmer and he says, the husbandman means a farmer. It says the farmer plants a crop and he understands that just because he plants a crop today, he's not going to have fruit or he's not going to have vegetables tomorrow. He understands that. He's to be patient. He's to work his garden. He's to plow it. He's to fertilize it. He's to water it, knowing that the Lord will send the harvest. It's going to come. It may be a while yet. But what keeps the farmer going? Because he believes the promises of God. What a promise. Listen to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. That's a promise from God. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. So what does the farmer do? He goes out there and he plows his farm, he plants his crops, and he waits upon the promises of God. Now let me tell you something, as Christians, we need to do the same thing. Jesus says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. I'm going to come again. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again. He says, as you've seen him go, he will come again. And he says in Revelation, I will come again. As Christians, we should believe the promises of God. And that ought to encourage us, knowing that he will come again. He always keeps his word. Man. Listen to me. The prophets. Verse 10, he says, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example, suffering, affliction, patience. Boy, did they ever suffer. Hosea had marital problems. David had marital problems or lust problems. Daniel had lion problems, and Moses had people problems, and Elijah, he got so discouraged, he said, God, just kill me, let me die. God says, Elijah, the journey is too great for thee, but it's not for me. It's not too much for God. Trust in God. Put your faith in God. Job, you've heard about the patience of Job, haven't you? He complained. He got down in the dumps. His life was filled with agony and pain, but one thing, he never quit. He never quit because he looked to God. He believed that God had a plan and a purpose for his very life. Folks, let me tell you something. God has a plan for your life today. He's got a purpose for your life. I like that saying, God doesn't make junk. He's got a purpose for your life. That plan and that purpose is in the will of God. If you don't know the will of God, you need to get into the Word of God and find out what God's will for your life. I know one thing, if you're there this morning and you're lost, he says, I will that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. You see, Christ went and died on the cross. Somebody had to pay the price for our sin. We have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That simply means we missed the mark of God. We are sinners. That little baby, that Minnie Pearl, oh, she's born, but she's got a sinful nature. Beautiful as she is, she's got a sinful nature. And one day the Holy Spirit, I prayed, is going to speak to her heart, and she's going to choose Christ, because that's the only way we can be saved. It's through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other way, he said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who believes in me shall have eternal life. He who does not is condemned already. Let me tell you something. If you do not know Jesus Christ and you walk out of here and you die, you will spend an eternity lost from Jesus Christ. You need to come to him. That's the will of God. He wants you to be saved this morning. He wants you to start living that joyful life. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All you have to do is by faith trust him for your salvation. He died. He paid the price for it. And the Bible says he rose again on the third day. And because he lives, you can live also in eternity with him. Folks, that's the gospel plan of salvation. And the Bible says, oh, Job believed God. And the Bible says he blessed the latter end of Job more than the former end. What difficulty he had. Now, you who are Christians, I don't know what's going on in your life. I know some of you have cancer. Man, that scares the human to death. But let me tell you something. God has a plan for your life. And he will guide you through. And you have an eternal home awaiting if you're in Christ. The hope of glory. You're just going to beat us there maybe a little faster. But oh, how I long to see him and look upon his face. Some of you have marital problems. God is the answer. God is the answer. Some of you have financial problems. God is the answer. He will see you through. Whatever difficulty you're going through, God has a plan. I believe that with all my heart. 1985, God had a plan for mine and Rhonda's life when he called us here. Ray was telling me this morning, it's been 29 years, preacher, and I said, yeah. 2 weeks ago, 29 years. God has a plan and he has a purpose for our life. Oh, there's been tough times, but God will see you through. You know what I'm doing? I'm looking for the blessed hope. I'm hanging in there. I'm longing, looking upward. And while I'm looking upward every day, I look inward at my own life. And every day as I look inward at my own life, I don't want it just to stop with my life. I look outward to someone else so I can tell them about Jesus Christ. Do you know the Lord? Is he your Savior today? If not, you need to come. Some of you are here this morning and you're looking for a church home. If this is the place God has led you, would you come? Some of you are saved. You've been in this church for years, but your life's not right with God. You just need to come at the altar, get out on your knees and say, Lord, today I'm turning it over to you. would you come? Whatever need you might have, would you come? If you just need to pray, come to the front and pray. Encouraging words, the Lord is coming. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your blessings. We thank you for the love that you have for us. And Lord, if someone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray that they might come before it's too late. Or if they just need to come and pray, let them, whatever decisions, don't let them quench the spirit. Let them step forward and come. For it's in your precious name we ask. Amen.